You know what the psychological stretch is? You probably don't, because I just labeled it that. But I think it captures the essence of something going on out there. When I was in grad school, I had to minor in counseling. My major was clinical psych, minor was counseling. And some of the courses we got, in my opinion, were pretty flaky. They really were. I spent most of my time in the course with one eyebrow kind of raised and the other eye half closed, like, you really think that? One course, I was sitting there. The prof offered the observation that we take in information pretty much the same way we eat. If you take big bites and swallow without chewing, you're not a critical thinker. You're gullible. You swallow things whole. If you take tiny little bites and you chew, you are cautious. You're kind of an analyzer, maybe a little bit too obsessive. Everybody else was, well, most others were taking notes. I, reasonably fresh from engineering courses earlier in my college career, I just looked and I raised my hand. I asked, is there any evidence, any data to support this correlation? The professor, who practiced a form of therapy called Gestalt therapy, said to me, Ray, notice how you're kind of leaning back? Are you unsure of your question? So I leaned forward, stood straight up, and I asked it again. And he said, your arms seem to be somewhat folded in kind of a closed position. Are you going to be open to the answer that I gave you? Well, I gave up. I just gave up. I said, give me a Twinkie and I'll swallow it whole. The psychological stretch. You see, shrink types, mental health types, and I include all the folks that are people with letters after their name in the social mental health sciences. Certainly, their benefit is experience. They do this for a living, so they've got a much broader sample size from which to draw conclusions from, and hopefully some of them draw very good conclusions. However, there is a temptation. We Christians would call it part of fallen human nature, but the temptation is for me to be smarter than you. You see, if you come to me with a problem, and I give you thoughts and advice that are pretty much the same as Aunt Harriet would give you, well, those letters after my name aren't really saying much, right?
Well, that's just common sense.
Well, let me give you a small example. I was at a ball game about a year ago watching my sons play. As happens to me all the time, guy comes up and says, can I ask you something, Dr. Ray? And he kind of unloaded a complex family problem on me as I was sort of semi-ignoring him watching my son play ball. So I gave him a couple of sentences, observations about the whole situation. And he said, well, I thought I was going to get more than that from you. And he walked away. You see, the pressure on shrink types, mental health types, is to be smarter than the average guy. We're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to offer insights that people say, oh, I never thought of looking at it that way before. Oh, how pinpoint accurate, cognitively speaking. The pressure's there, all right? And there's times that we can do that. There's times I can do that because of experience. Even because of the PhD. But. The pressure, and this is especially true with media type shrinks, the pressure is to come up with conclusions and observations and insights about human nature that not too many other people have thought of. It's the psychological stretch, if you will. The problem becomes if you stretch too far, you get goofy. You leave the realm of reality and decent sense. What you say, I'll give you a small example. People have been told that if you send a child to her room for punishment, that's a private place. That's a place that's supposed to be associated with positive feelings. Therefore, the child will struggle. The child will have ambivalence, mixed feelings toward her room, toward her bed. She could grow up all of her life with struggles towards a bedroom. Now, most people have never thought of that. Most parents, I dare say 99% of parents, would never say, gee, I sure am reluctant to send my kid to her room because I wonder about bad feelings towards her bed and towards sleep. So what happens is you got some expert somewhere saying, hey, have you thought about bad feelings towards bed and sleep? Did you ever consider that when you sent your kid to isolation? And the parents think, well, gee, that is an expert. Gee, they must know more about this than I do. Gee, maybe they followed 1,000 kids who were sent to their rooms when they were kids and found out that 54% of them have bad feelings toward their bed. Is it a bunk bed? Is it a trundle? Is it a cot? Sleeping bag? The reason that most parents would not even think of that is because it's such a stretch away from reality that people thinking with level-headed common sense wouldn't reach for that interpretation. Wouldn't occur to them. Has to be told to them by someone with letters after their name. Something they hadn't thought of. It's a psychological stretch. That's why we shrink types got to be real careful, because in an effort, in yielding to the pressure to be smarter than the average bear, we can say things that go so far beyond the realm of reality that it's foolish. It's kind of like the stuff I got in grad school where they said, yeah, process information the same way you eat. Well, that sounds, now, doesn't that sound awful insightful? Doesn't it? Now, what about those of you whose spouse is cooking? It's terrible, huh? And you spit it out. Does that mean you really don't listen to what anybody says and you're kind of stubborn and defensive? How about that one, huh? Watch out for the psychological stretch. In the words of Father Benedict Groeschel, if something seems to not square with reality, it may very well be because it doesn't.